In Jamaica, people don't have to prove anything to ruin you. They just have to repeat it. A whisper on a Monday becomes everybody know by Wednesday. A me here, say, turns into your name trending in somebody's mouth like it's fact. And once your name get dirty, you can't scrub it clean. You can only learn to live inside it. That's why when Miss Nadine asked me for a small favor, I didn't hear favor. I heard test. I heard community. I heard the warning baked into her smile. If you don't do it, you're disrespectful. If you do it and it goes wrong, you're guilty anyway.
She was the kind of woman people stood up for in a room without thinking. Church had on Sunday. PTA on Tuesday. Funeral committee whenever somebody dead. Everybody called her Miss. Even men older than her. Like the title was a shield.
And me? I was just a man trying to keep my name good. So I said yes, because I thought respect was protection. Turns out it was the blade. I met Miss Nadine through my auntie, which is basically how half of Jamaica works. You don't meet people, you get connected to them through someone who can shame you if you mess it up. My auntie lived two lanes over from her in Spanish Town, and she spoke about Miss Nadine like she was a local landmark. She carry herself good, my auntie would say. She don't do slackness. She is a woman of principle. That word, principle, was the first hook. Because principle, in a small community, isn't just morals. It's status. It's protection. It's the difference between, that's a good man, and watching, him is a problem. I was 29. Working security nights and doing small delivery runs in the day. Not big money, but enough to keep my rent paid and my mother off my back. I wasn't trying to be famous. I wasn't trying to be bad. I just wanted to be untouchable, in the simplest way. Nobody could say shit about me and have it stick. Then one Thursday afternoon, my auntie called me and said, "Come by me a minute. Miss Nadine here." I didn't even ask why. That's the thing about fear of shame. You move before you think. You show up so nobody can say you didn't. When I walked in, Miss Nadine was sitting upright like she owned the chair. Hair neat, skirt pressed, Bible-sized handbag on her lap. She looked at me like she was taking inventory. "Evening," I said. "Evening, son," she replied. And the way she said son made me feel small in my own body. My auntie poured her juice, did the little host performance, then drifted into the kitchen and pretended to wash dishes so she could listen without looking like she was listening.
Miss Nadine smiled at me like we were family already.
"I hear you as a respectful young man."
Right there. I felt it. The test. I laughed. Polite. "Me try."
She nodded, pleased. "Good. Because Miles have a small thing. Not big. But it needs somebody with sense. Somebody people trust."
People trust.
That phrase landed heavy. Like she was handing me something fragile and expensive. She leaned in a little, voice lowering. Not secretive. More like intimate. Like we were sharing responsibility.
"I have a youth at school," she said. "Him is a good boy, but him mother. The mother always in trouble. Always borrowing. Always drama. Now the boy need to get a tablet and uniform things, and the mother can't manage." I waited, already feeling the trap closing. Because when a respected woman tells you a story about a struggling mother and a schoolboy, you can't just say, "Not my business." That's how you get labeled hard-hearted. That's how you get talked about. "So, Miles do a collection," she continued. "Few of the parents. Few people from church. Just a little support. But you know how people say, everybody want to know where every dollar go." She rolled her eyes like she was annoyed at the idea of accountability. But she said it with that righteous tone, like transparency was a burden she carried for the community. "So, Miles wants you to come with me to pick up a contribution from one man. Him don't like me. Him always feel like Miles too uptown." She made quotes in the air, like the word offended her. "But him respect men, especially a young man who carry himself good. If you come, him will hand it over, no argument. You just stand there, witness it. So later nobody can say Miles take nothing.
Witness it. Stand there. Small thing. My stomach loosened. Relieved. This wasn't illegal. This was community work.
Sure, I said. Because saying no would feel like refusing charity for a schoolboy.
Miss Nadine smiled wider. Me know you would understand. You have a good head.
Then she hit me with the second hook, the compliment that becomes obligation.
She stood up, adjusted her skirt, and said, "Tomorrow evening, after you wake up from your night shift, Miles will call you."
The next day, my phone rang at 6, and I was already half-dressed before I even answered. Fear of shame doesn't let you rest. It keeps you ready like you're on trial at all times. She picked me up in a clean little hatchback, and when I got in, the car smelled like air freshener and church.
"Bless up," she said. "You ready?"
"Yeah." We drove through lanes where everybody knows everybody's business. You pass one shop and you see 3 people on a bench watching you like you're a TV show.
Miss Nadine waved at people with that queenly gesture, like she was handing out approval.
"This is why Miles don't like ask people for nothing," she said, sighing. "One little favor, and dem mouths start run."
I nodded, because I knew that truth too well. I'd seen men lose work because someone said they look like thief. I'd seen women get shunned because someone said they sound like they sleep around. Proof wasn't required. The community is a court that never closes. We reached a small hardware store. The sign was faded. A man behind the counter looked up and frowned immediately.
Miss Nadine's smile stayed sweet, but her eyes sharpened. "Good evening, Mr. Blake."
He didn't greet her.
He stared at me.
"Who that?" he asked.
"This is Dwayne," she said, like my name was a credential. "Him is here to witness, because you know people love talk."
Mr. Blake snorted. "Witness what?"
Miss Nadine didn't flinch.
"The contribution for the schoolboy. We spoke already."
Mr. Blake leaned back like he was disgusted. "Me tell you already, Miss Nadine, Miles not giving you cash." Her smile twitched.
"Just a fraction."
"So you will give what, then?"
He opened a drawer and pulled out a small envelope. He placed it on the counter, but didn't slide it to her. He slid it toward me.
"Give it to him," he said.
"Not you."
I hesitated because it felt rude, but Miss Nadine's eyes pinned me.
"Take it," she said softly.
So I took it. Mr. Blake jabbed a finger at the envelope.
"Count it."
I laughed awkwardly.
"Right here?"
"Yes, right here."
I looked at Miss Nadine, and she gave me that look.
"Do it."
The kind of look aunties give when you're about to embarrass them in public.
So, I opened the envelope and counted. $10,000 Jamaican. Not a crazy amount, but enough to matter.
$10,000, I said.
Mr. Blake nodded.
"Good.
So if anybody asks, you saw it."
Miss Nadine's smile came back like nothing happened.
"Thank you, Mr. Blake. The child will appreciate it."
He ignored her again, looked at me. "Walk good, youth."
When we got back in the car, Miss Nadine exhaled like she'd been holding her breath.
"You see," she said, "people stay wicked. Him treat me like Miles is a thief."
She laughed, but it wasn't funny. It was the laugh people do when they're saving their pride.
I wanted to reassure her. I wanted to be the good man everybody said I was. So, I said the worst thing possible.
"Don't worry, miss. I saw everything. Nobody can chat."
Her eyes flicked to me, quick and pleased, like I'd just signed something without reading it.
"Exactly," she said. "Because, you know, respect is everything."
And I believed her, because I didn't realize respect wasn't a shield in her hands. It was leverage. 2 days later, the first rumor hit me like a slap. I was at my mother's yard fixing a gate latch when a neighbor walked by and said, too casually, "Me here say you and Miss Nadine doing little money collection now."
I pause.
"What?"
He shrugged, smiling like it was harmless.
"Just hear it.
People a talk."
That phrase again.
People to talk. By night, my auntie called me. Voice tight. Dwayne? Wow, really gone? Why, you mean...
She lowered her voice like the walls had ears. Dem say you take money from Miss Nadine. Dem say you was the one handling it. Dem say you carry it, go give somebody.
My skin went cold. Who say that? A girl from church. She say she hear it from Mr. Blakeshot.
I laughed, but it came out sharp. That's bullshit. Auntie didn't laugh back. Mind how you talk. You know how things set. You know Miss Nadine name big. I felt anger rise, hot and stupid. So because her name big, Miles must accept people lie on me? Auntie sighed.
Me not say that. Miles just say, be careful.
Be careful. That's what you tell someone when you're warning them the community is already leaning against them. I called Miss Nadine immediately. She answered on the second ring like she'd been waiting. Evening, son.
I didn't do greetings. Miss Nadine, people saying my name, they saying I take money, they saying
she cut me off. Calm. Dwayne, relax yourself.
Relax.
Like my reputation wasn't on fire.
My has some foolishness too,
she continued. But you know people, them always jealous when they see a young man helping.
Well, helping.
She used the word like it was a medal she pinned on me. I need you to come by me, she said. Tonight.
What for?
So we can straighten it out, she replied, still calm.
Because Miles can't have your name get dirty, and Miles can't have my name get dirty neither.
People love disrespect. There was again. Respect. Disrespect. Her favorite currency. I drove over, and the whole time, I felt like every eye on the road knew something I didn't. Her house was neat. Little lights around the porch, like she lived ready for inspection. She opened the door before I knocked. Come in, she said. Sit. Inside, everything smelled like lemon cleaner. The kind of cleanliness that feels like judgment. She sat across from me with a notebook on her lap. Not a Bible, a notebook. I write down everything, she said, because people lie. She looked at me with that careful, concerned face.
Dwayne, you know why them talking?
No. She sighed like she was tired of carrying the truth. Because the mother of the boy, she say she never get the full amount.
I blinked.
What? She claimed she only received 5,000, not 10. My mouth went dry, but I counted 10 at the shop. I know, Miss Nadine said softly, and that's why Miles call you, because you are my witness. Witness. The word came back, heavier now.
So, would the rest go?
I asked. Ismadine didn't answer immediately. She looked at her notebook, then at me. Dwayne, she said, voice gentle. You carry it from Mr. Blake's shop. You put it in your pocket. You come in my car. You bring it to me. Only you and me know what happened after that. My heart started thudding. Miss, you're not saying. She raised her hand. Am I not accusing you? Miles just explaining what it looked like. It looked like. That's how people convict you. Not by facts, by vibes.
I gave you the full envelope, I said. Louder now. I handed it to you in the car.
She nodded slowly, like she was humoring me. Yes. You say that. I stood up. You making it sound like a thief. Her eyes sharpened. The sweetness dropped a degree.
Mind your tone, Dwayne. Miles is not your little friend. And Miles not going to sit down and let you disrespect me in my own house.
I felt my face burn. There it was. Respect is weapon. I'm not disrespecting you, I said, whistling my voice down. I'm defending myself.
And Miles defending myself too, she said. Because if people say money missing, them will point at me. You understand?
I swallowed. My mouth tasted like metal.
So what you want me to do?
Miss Nadine leaned forward and her voice went back to soft, almost motherly. I want you to help me fix it.
Fix it? She opened the notebook and slid it across the table, a list of names and amounts. Tomorrow, at church committee meeting, Miles going to say we collect 15,000 total. Not 10, because other people contribute too. But the mother can't know exactly who give what. That will cause problem. I stared at the list. Why 15? Because if we say 10 and she only give 5, then everybody will ask where the 5 go, she said like it was math. But if we say 15 and she get 10, she will feel grateful and stop talk. I blinked. Wait, she only got 5? Miss Nadine's face didn't change. She claimed she get 5. So we will give her 10, and we will say the total is 15. I felt dizzy. But where the extra 5 come from? Miss Nadine smiled like I was slow. From you. I laughed once. Sharp. From me? You are a respectable young man, she said. And you understand community. If people say money missing, it can mash up everything. It can mash up the board. It can mash up the church. It can mash up my name. And your eyes locked online. It can mash up your name too. My throat tightened. She wasn't asking. She was painting the future and telling me I'd be stupid not to walk into it. I don't have extra 5,000, I said. She tilted her head. Dwayne, don't embarrass yourself. You have work. You drive little deliveries. You can find it. I felt rage flare, messy and hot. So because you won't protect your name, I must pay? Her smile vanished completely. Her voice dropped. Not loud, dangerous. Listen to me, she said. Me is trying to save you. Save me, like she was doing me a favor while she pushed my head underwater. You think people gonna believe you over me? She continued. You think Mr. Blake gonna stand up and defend you? You think the church sisters them gonna say, oh yes, Dwayne is honest. No, man. Them will say, we always know him did look like trouble. My hands were shaking. That's not fair. She shrugged. Fair is not a thing people eat, Dwayne. And then she did the final move, the intimacy weaponized. She sighed, softer again. Me like you. Miles don't want to see you get shame. So Miles give you a chance to do the right thing. The right thing. My stomach turned. Because the right thing was a lie. A donation to cover a theft I didn't commit. Or worse, a theft I couldn't prove I didn't commit. I left the house that night with my head full of noise. On the road, I kept hearing her voice. You think people gonna believe you over me? And I hated myself because I knew the answer. No. So yeah, this is where I did it. This is where I became part of it. The next morning, I pulled 5,000 from my savings. Money I had set aside to fix my car. I felt sick doing it. I felt stupid. I felt trapped. And I remember sitting on my bed whispering, fuck, fuck, fuck. Because no matter what I did, I could already feel my name slipping out of my control. I handed Miss Nadine the money that evening. She didn't say thank you. She just smiled and said, good, now we can keep respect in the community. And that's when I realized respect wasn't something you had. It was something she could take. Church committee meeting was a Wednesday night, and it felt like walking into a courtroom where everybody already read your case file. Plastic chairs, fluorescent lights, the smell of perfume, and old hymn books. The same women who hugged you on Sunday now looking at you like you're a headline. Miss Maydean sat at the front table like a judge. Notebook open, pen ready, calm as ever. When I entered, conversation dipped. Just slightly, but enough for me to notice. Enough for my skin to prickle. One of the sisters, Sister Paulette, smiled at me too bright. Evening, Dwayne. Evening, I replied. She mean close, voice sweet. You all right? You look stressed. I forced a laugh. Work. She nodded like she didn't believe me. The meeting started. Prayer. Announcements. Then Miss Nadine cleared her throat. All right, she said. We need to address the little misunderstanding with the schoolboy contribution. My stomach twisted.
She spoke like she was teaching, like she was above the mess. We collected $15,000. We gave the mother 10. We keep 5 aside for the tablet. Simple. 15. 10. 5.
The lie landed smooth. Too smooth.
Sister Paulette raised her hand. But Miles here, people say money did missing.
This Nadine sighed, tired and holy. People always talk, but Miles have witness. She looked at me. And Dwayne was there. Dwayne see everything. Every eye in the room swung to me. I felt heat crawl up my neck.
Miss Nadine smiled at me, like she was giving me a chance to be good.
Tell them, Dwayne, she said. This is the moment people don't understand. They think lying is a choice you make in 1 second, like you just decide to be bad. But sometimes, lying feels like the only way to keep breathing.
Because if I said, actually, we only collected 10, then the next question is, so why the mother only get 5? And then the eyes shift from Miss Nadine to me, and then I'm the thief. And then my name is finished.
So I lied.
I nodded. Yeah, I said, voice tight. I was there. I saw it.
Miss Nadine's smile warmed, satisfied. Like she just pinned the community's trust onto my chest and crushed my ribs with it.
The meeting ended with polite chatter. People walked out, and I thought, stupidly, that maybe it was done. Then the mother came. Not into the meeting, outside, waiting by the gate like she'd been sent there. Her face was tight, angry, and tired. She looked like someone who'd been hungry for too long.
Lane, she said.
I stopped. Hey, she didn't greet back. Me here say you was the one handling the money. I swallowed.
Miss Nadine was handling it.
The mother laughed, short, bitter. You know how dem people stay. Them always have somebody else do the dirty part.
My stomach sank. She wasn't accusing me exactly. She was seeing me as a tool.
I didn't take anything, I blurted.
She stared at me.
So why Miles only get 5 at first?
I froze.
Because what the fuck could I say? Because Miss Nadine needed leverage? Because she wanted to see who would crack? Because she wanted to pull me into the mud with her so I couldn't climb out?
I stood there like an idiot while the mother's eyes filled with something sharp.
Me not stupid, you know, she said quietly. Me might poor, but Miles not stupid.
Then she stepped closer, voice low. You better watch yourself, because Miles will talk.
And that's when I realized the rumor machine didn't stop. It just changed drivers. The next week, my boss pulled me aside at work.
Dwayne, he said, not unkind. People call in the office.
My heart dropped.
Calling?
He nodded. Saying you involved in some missing money thing at church? Saying your name in bad company?
I felt sweat break out. It's not true, he sighed.
True or not, it's noise. And noise is trouble. That was the first real consequence. Not court, not police, noise.
Then came the second. The whisper that Miss Nadine didn't just want to protect her name.
She wanted to destroy mine.
It started small. Someone told my mother they saw me leaving Miss Nadine's yard late. Someone told my auntie that Miss Nadine said I get rude with her. Someone told my girlfriend that I'm moving like I want big woman.
I confronted Miss Nadine again, and this time, she didn't pretend. I went to her house, angry, shaking, and she opened the door like she was expecting me.
Miss, why are you letting people say them things? I demanded.
She tilted her head.
Who say Miles letting anything?
You using my name? I snapped. You telling people I'm your witness like I'm your pet?
Her eyes hardened.
Mind your mouth.
And there it was. Dialect sharpening,
not from humor, but threat.
"You come to Miles' yard and talk like you're bad," she said, voice low. "Dwayne, Miles will mash you up, you know."
I stared at her.
"You can't do that."
She smiled, small, ugly. "Watch me." Then she leaned in, speaking soft, like a knife sliding in.
"You already lied for me," she said. "You already put your mouth in it. So if police come, you can't run and act innocent. You was part of it now."
My stomach dropped. She was right. Because once you lie publicly, truth becomes betrayal. And betrayal is the one thing the community punishes faster than theft.
I left her yard feeling like I couldn't wash my skin clean.
A month later, the legal part came. Not dramatic, not cinematic. Just a letter and a phone call. The mother reported it. The police asked questions. They didn't arrest me. Not that day. But they wrote my name down. They took statements. And statements in Jamaica are like tattoos. Even if nothing official happens, the label sticks. When the officer asked me, "So you saw $15,000 collected?" I heard Miss Nadine's voice in my head. "You already lied for me." And I said yes again. Because by then, telling the truth wouldn't make me free. It would make me the villain. I remember leaving the station and sitting in my car, hands on the steering wheel, whispering, "Fuck. Fuck. Fuck." Not because I was scared of jail even, because I was scared of the thing worse than jail. Being known, being named, being pointed at in the shop, being the story people tell to warn their sons. Miss Nadine didn't need to steal money to win. She stole my safety. Now, every time someone says respect around me, I feel my chest tighten. 'Cause I learned what it really means in a small place. Respect is an admiration. It's a weapon you hand to the wrong person. And they don't just cut you once. They make you hold the blade, smiling, while everybody watches you bleed.